Morning, family. It's always a privilege to be in the house of the Lord and to worship Him and to be in the presence of God. It's so special. It really is. And for some people, it makes them uncomfortable. Praise God. But you better get used to it because heaven is full of everything's turned on my end. Yes, heaven is full of His presence. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful that we can trust Him today. Amen. Now, I want to just start off with a verse in Matthew and chapter 3, verse 3. And we're all pretty familiar with this verse. And it's John the Baptist is speaking from verse 3. For this is he who spoke, was spoke of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John the Baptist appears on the scene on Jesus' first coming, and these are the words of John that he was given by the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And I believe this was a prescription that the Holy Ghost gave. It was more than a prescription. I guess it was a recipe, amen, for making yourself ready. And I don't cook much, so I don't follow recipes too good. But this was given by God for men and women to make themselves ready for the coming of the Lord. And what was good for His first coming is good for His second coming. Amen. And I feel this is the voice of God speaking to me this week. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. Hey, make His path straight for whatever's coming next. How many know the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years? 40. And those 40 years, God was taking the ways of Egypt out of Israel. That's why they were in the wilderness for 40 years. It took 1 year for God to deliver Israel out of Egypt, but 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. And I want to read some verses from Revelation chapter 19, verses 7, 8, and 9. And really, this is my subject today. And it's the marriage feast of the Lamb I want to talk about. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. A day is coming when the marriage of the Lamb is going to be upon us. Amen. And His wife has made herself ready. Every day we get a little closer to these truths that are in the book of Revelation. And to her, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. Did you know it was granted to you? It's been granted from heaven for us to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, that's each one of you. Blessed is each one of us because we've been invited into this marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. Hallelujah. And so this gives us a glimpse into something. You've been invited to a wedding feast because you are, when you accepted Jesus, whether you realize it or not, you've been in invited into a prearranged marriage. Praise God, it's true. We were invited into a prearranged marriage, and did you know it's the bridegroom's father that invites all the guests that are invited. Amen. And so I want to start off talking about this very subject, but I want to start off from Hosea. And chapter 1. Hallelujah. Well, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Hallelujah. And so here was the Lord telling his prophet Hosea, Amen. Go get yourself a wife and take her out of harlotry, because your life with your wife is going to mirror my relationship with Israel. And that's what God was doing now. And not every prophet has the same calling. Praise God. But Hosea was told to go get a wife and pluck her out of harlotry. The scriptures don't really tell us what Gomer thought when her husband came along and plucked her out of this way of living that she had chosen. Amen. Scripture don't tell us what Gomer was feeling, but truth was, she took no time in testing Hosea's feelings. But first she bore him 3 children, and then she left. Sounds like an old Kenny Rogers song, doesn't it? You took a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Amen. With 3 hungry children. And so, but she up and left, and left him there by himself. I suppose that, I don't know what made her run away, but her life and the life of Hosea and his wife were now mirroring Israel, who had forsaken God, had turned his back on him. And so the Lord came to Hosea in chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, and it says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover, and is committed adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods, love the raisin cakes of pagans.'" So then Hosea says, "So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley." And so Hosea went and purchased his wife back. She got caught up in slavery, or she was someone's mistress, and I suppose he put a price on her. If you want her back, it's going to cost you 15 shekels of silver and a little homer to buy Gomer. Okay, I'll work on the comedy stuff. 1.5 homers to buy back Gomer, and I'm sure, I don't know how she felt, because the scriptures don't tell us how Gomer felt after her overwhelming love of her husband came and bought her back again and brought her home. It doesn't really tell us, but I suppose the closest thing we have to understanding this overwhelming love is when Jesus came and bought us back. Amen. And because, you know, the human race had fallen and we were sinners just like Gomer, and maybe we're more like Gomer than we realize. As a matter of fact, we have one thing in common. Have we found God's amazing grace, each one of us? And the Lord, hallelujah, called us the Gomers of this world. He's called us out, amen, to be his own, to be the bride, from a Gomer to a bride. Hallelujah, it's quite a calling. Amen. And it's on each one of us. Hallelujah. And so maybe we know Gomer better than we think we do. And she is what we are, a sinner that's received amazing grace, the amazing grace of God. And now we're called to be the bride of Christ. Wow. What an extreme. We're called to be the bride of Christ. And Christ isn't coming back for a Gomer, I got to tell you. But anyway, we'll continue on. And remember, I told you that it's the Father who handpicks the bride. And in John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said this: "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will in no means cast out." So it was all that the Father was going to give to him. Verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will draw him, and I will raise him up," sorry, "in the last days." And so we see that this wedding feast that Jesus talks about in Revelation, and we've been called the bride of Christ, and it's the Father who has drawn us and given us to His Son, and in raising up a family, and in John 3:16, you know, it's our Heavenly Father has paid the dowry or paid the price for the bride. And John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but has everlasting life. And so we see the Father has sent Jesus as the dowry payment. So we begin to understand about this wedding feast just a little bit. Hallelujah. I want to talk about it more, but, you know, you have to really understand the Jewish wedding ceremony before you can understand this talking of God, or this wedding feast that God's talking about. And He's speaking their language. He's speaking right into their ceremonies, right into their way of life, to make Himself clear. And so for us to understand the Jewish wedding ceremony, we're all familiar with the word betrothed, right? And it's a little different than engagement. To be betrothed, what would happen was the groom and his parents would meet with the bride and her parents, and there'd be some guests there, and the priest would be there, and they would strike up a deal, or they would make a marriage agreement or marriage ceremony. And when it was agreed by everybody, then the priest would pronounce a blessing on the couple, and they would be legally married. And there would be a dowry that would have to be paid. Sometimes it was a few sheep or a few goats or a few camels or donkeys that someone might pay for their wife. I got a good deal on my wife. Not because she was on sale. But because she's low maintenance. That's why I say I got a good deal. And she's had my back these last few decades. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that. It's not easy, you know, being a pastor's wife. Amen. But we're praying her through, and God's holding her up so far. Praise God. But let's get back to this word betrothal. And so after the dowry was paid, the married couple entered an interval of separation. And the bridegroom would go home with his parents, and the bride would go home with her parents. The bridegroom would go home, and he would make a bridal chamber for him and his wife. And the bridal chamber, maybe he would take a year or so in building it. In that time, they're separated, and the bride would be home with her parents, the interval of separation. And at that time, when the groom was building the bridal chamber, the bride was making herself ready. And she was given no indication when her bridegroom would come for her. There was no indication. She wasn't told. And so she had to be ready. Ready in case he came in the night. Ready. I don't know. Maybe she slept with her wedding garments on. I'm not sure how that worked. But she had to be ready. No matter what was next. What does Jesus tell us in Matthew 25:13? I'm going to read it to you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Praise God. And so we see that what Jesus was preaching in the scripture was lining up pretty close with this wedding ceremony that the Jewish people put into practice. He was speaking to them right where they lived. Hallelujah. So they would understand what was happening. And what else? Oh, I thought it was interesting that the groom's father would tell him when he could go get his bride, you know. And so the father was in charge of when he would go pick his bride up. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 24:36? But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Hallelujah. And so what they're not, they're certain. Lord help me.